Welcome to the podcast Found in Estonia, where we talk with foreigners who have made Estonia their home. In each episode, it's going to be me, Tiina, and Kaisa, my co-host, and we are going to talk with one foreigner who already lives in Estonia. This podcast aims to bring our listeners together, inspire more open-mindedness, and just to share interesting stories and observations that many foreigners with their fresh eyes can offer. Among the podcasts, we also plan to organize events and get-togethers in real life. And the best way to never miss any information about that is to go to our website, which is foundinestonia.ee, and become part of our community. By the way, if you join our email community in August, which is right now, which is our launch month, then together with Estonian organic fragrance company Hurm, we actually have a gift for you. So go to our website and read more how to get it. And now we're going to talk with Sandra. The name does sound like an Estonian name, but she is actually from pretty far away. She's from Mexico, and she's been living in Estonia for 10 plus years now. In a minute, we're going to jump right into it, how she ended up in Estonia, what does winter mean to her, what does she actually think about sauna and spas. We also talked about religion, university systems, food, like kiluvõileib and heringas. And there's one topic that just resurfaced again and again and again, and it's the weather. So Sandra has a lot to say about the weather. And she also has few tips on how to survive winters here. And now, let's just jump in right into it, hearing how she describes a typical Estonian through her eyes. And then let the conversation unfold from there. Enjoy!
A typical Estonian, I think it's my first impression. Very quiet, very focused. Very noisy during summer days.
What do you mean by that?
Noisy. Like when I arrived in Estonia, it was autumn, like October, something like that. It was not the beginning of summer. And then I noticed the next year, and when it was summer, that in the sauna, everybody was changing completely and smiling and laughing. And I was like, what happened? Like, this is not the same person.
New breed of Estonians arrived.
Yeah, they mutate when it's summertime. They become more happy and smiley. And but typically, I would say very reserved in their thoughts, in their emotions, and very careful, and always kind of planning the future. This is my first. How I perceive it, because later on try to analyze why they are like that, and I think it's the winter plays a big role in here, because you have to plan how your house is gonna be during winter times. Has to be warm. You have to have enough food. You have to plan everything. So I think Estonians are really always looking forward on what is coming, while. In Mexico, we don't do that very often, because weather is really, really good with us. We don't need to plan, like, what are we going to eat tomorrow, or how the house is going to be warm in winter.
Here, if you go to a road trip or something, you have to pack for each weather. Like, you have to be prepared for everything.
That's true. That is something that I also will say that describe Estonians. They are always ready, if even they go to visit grandma for one day. They're like, oh, let's take the umbrella and maybe this weather jacket and the other weather jacket and the vest as well, and the rubber boots, what if it's raining, and then the sandals in case that it's really warm, because the weather can go from like, I don't know, 20 to in the night, like drop into
Yeah, but I guess that's more true during the summer. During the winter, you always have to bring very good clothes.
During the winter, you just have to protect your neck, your ears, and don't smile too much, because then you're going to freeze if it's minus degrees outside.
That's the first time I hear somebody say that don't smile too much during winter.
But I'm very smiley. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of my personality things, like I really smile.
So have you experienced it?
That and it goes then like ice? When it was winter, I was smiling. Really? Like, oh my God, I feel like, because it's this area has a lot of humidity, and when it's minus, and it can be very difficult. And so now I understood why in wintertime people don't want to be talking in the bus station or making conversation. They want to keep the energy and keep them warm. While I was used to just talking in the bus station with someone next to me, hey, hi, and like speaking with a stranger.
Oh, yeah, and you never do that in Estonia. That's blasphemy.
In here, someone will consider that you are out of some,
you're a weird
lunatic
cult?
House. Exactly. You never speak with strangers in here. But the typical Estonians, I think they are really... really strategic thinking in their minds and but really positive about the future all the time. And that things, one of the things that the country reflects is always this positive thought, because the country is developing all the time, and it's something good to see.
Nice. Which is really weird, because I would have never thought that to describe Estonians as very positive thinking. Yeah, future forward for sure, but positive thinking, that just goes against the Estonian grain. I'm just maybe so used to like people always wanting more and wanting better.
They are very critics with themselves. It's very difficult to satisfy the Estonians in the sense like they're never happy. And I think when they're happy, they are saying they're not happy.
They don't know what to do with the happy.
Exactly, how to handle the everything is completely fine and good.
I think most Estonians have some trouble expressing their emotions and saying that inside we feel all happy, I guess.
I think so. I think that's what I started to understand, because I will say that my perception at the very beginning is that Estonians are really, the first time I met them, really grumpy. They are very serious. They don't talk with anybody. How can I'm going to make friends? And then I understood that they are actually thinking further, and they are planning something, and in their mind, once everything falls into places, then they become happy. But at the same time, then they're always looking like what can be better. And I think that's one of the things that why this country have developed so fast and very nicely. So in the sense like positive in, I mean, they are always looking into how to improve things.
That's nice. All right, so we got a little bit ahead in here as well. And we forgot to introduce you.
Oh, yes.
So do you want to introduce yourself and start from saying what's your name, where you're from, and how did you end up in Estonia?
Okay, this I can do. My name is Sandra. So I am from Mexico.
Ooh.
Arriba, arriba, arriba.
Ooh. Far away.
Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, ay, ay. Yeah, far away, far away. I ended up in Estonia, obviously, because of love.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't think that there are many girls in Estonia that are here without any other reasons, because weather-wise is very challenging and the culture is completely different. But I met my husband in Mexico back in 2003.
Oh, God, that was a long time ago. That's 17 years now?
Yes.
Wow.
It feels like a long time ago, and some days it feels like yesterday. It's difficult to describe. And then we lived there, I think, until 2006. So 3 years. Mm-hmm. And, well, he was already speaking Spanish, and when we met, of course, he was not speaking Spanish. So I taught him how to speak Spanish, and it was really romantic. And and then he worked in Mexico. We worked together there. We lived there in Monterrey. And after some time, he said, "You know, I miss the snow. I miss the changing season, and I miss the black bread." And I was like, what are you talking about? What is snow?
Had you ever seen snow before coming to Estonia?
I will tell you a story later. Mm-hmm. I did, and it was really strange because the first time I saw snow in Mexico was when Brit came to Mexico.
Yeah.
That
so,
year.
Yeah, Brit is so... Now you're...
Brit is my husband. Yeah. Okay. Very Estonian name, which is very funny because in Mexico, we have a glue. That name is Brit. And then all my Mexican friends, because we don't know about Brit and Brit and double vowels are completely something from another universe, let's say. So we call them Brit. And like the glue. And my friends, they say, oh, you're sticking together. And here is Brit. And I understood it's really common name in Estonian. But yeah, he went to Mexico. And in the winter, it was Christmas. And he said, like, with this weather temperature, if it dropped 1 degree, it's going to start to snow. Okay. And we all were laughing, like, come on, we are in Mexico. In Mexico, we don't have snow. And he said, you will see. If this weather temperature drops one more degree, and I was like, what is a degree? Like, how do you know that? Because we don't really care a lot about the weather in terms of, oh, is it 10? Anyways, it started to snow that Christmas time. And we all Mexican went crazy. I think the next day the city government started to put the salt on the streets. And I mean, it was snowing just for 1 hour.
Like, oh, that sounds like snow in Ireland.
It was nothing like the real snow.
One centimeter is down and everything closes.
And I took, and that next day, I mean, I think it snowed for an entire night. The next day it was still some snow in the floor. So I took a lot of clothes and I took different pictures to pretend that I was like winter vacations. I don't know.
Clever.
But that was my first time I saw snow, and it was the Brit in Mexico. And then the funny thing is when I came to Estonia, it was the first time that Brit says like it, in years that Estonia didn't have any snow during Christmas time. So we said like, oh, you brought the snow to Mexico and I now brought
bringing it back.
Green Christmas to Estonia. But yeah, we met there and after some time he wanted to come here to Estonia. And for me, it was just interesting to see like the culture and the change of seasons. Like, I don't know what's winter, what is autumn. And all seems like a fairy tale, like these pictures about the country, the medieval castles. And I thought, oh, I want to be the princess. I want to go there. And then he said, and actually in Estonia, when you get a maternity leave, you can go up to like 3 years. I was like, are you kidding? Like in Mexico, you get 3 months and that's it. It's just like in the US. So I think that one of the reasons why I came was because of the good...
To get children.
Yeah, I mean, why not?
If you're planning, then you might as well plan in the best way.
I was already 28 something, so I thought, like, why not? I mean, it's good opportunity to be at home with the kids. So, yeah. So that's how I came to Estonia with him.
Nice. So how long have you been here already then?
I think 2006 until 9, is it? 14 years?
Yeah, almost 14 years. Then.
Almost 14 years, come on. Wow, that's nice.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah.
Have you been back?
Yes, we try to go back at least every second year, but we do this way that my mom and my family try to come 1 year and then we go the next year. But when we go like for a month. So I want the kids to speak Spanish as well, because at home we're really Estonian. Environment with the school and the environment really makes an effect. Like when you are in some place, if they go to the school Estonian and their friends are Estonian, of course they speak Estonian. So when I'm with them, I try to speak always Spanish, but they're growing this, they spend a lot of time with friends. But we go to Mexico. I try to recharge my batteries every time I go there.
It's more about the sunshine, you mean?
Yes.
Or is it about the people? Are you like, oh my god, emotions, awesome!
Emotions again!
I can see from people's faces how they feel about me.
Yes, yeah. I surprisingly, that's one of the things that I miss it the most when I came to Estonia, like the emotions and the people talking. But when I go back to Mexico right now, it's just too much. Why are they speaking too much?
But I think it's also about like what you get used to. Like when you're already been used to this Estonian environment where it's mm-hmm. quiet and there's a lot of room for introspection and people yes. don't like kind of fill the room with a lot of chatter and conversation, then when you go to an environment like that, it's very noisy and mm-hmm. can be very overwhelming.
It is. I think I didn't know. I thought at the beginning, like, why people in here, they don't open up and they don't mm-hmm. say like a lot when like on the buses, like now when I go back to Mexico, it's like I can't think because everybody's talking at the same time. I just wanna, you know, listen to myself a little bit. And then they ask my family, like, are you angry? Is there something mm-hmm. wrong right now? I'm like, no, I'm just
thinking.
And then my husband said, like, oh, you're becoming an Estonian.
Very true. Typical. Very true.
Yeah.
So what are typical Mexicans like then?
I think Mexicans are very diverse. I mean, we are really a big country, so it's kind of difficult to describe what is typical Mexican, but I think we share the same values. Mm-hmm. We care a lot about the family and friends and relatives. La familia es lo primero, mm-hmm. which means family goes always first. Mm-hmm. I think that value is something that unites us. And so I will say typical Mexican is someone who spends time with the mom, with family, with friends, with, mm-hmm. yeah, talking always about their plans and mm-hmm. tomorrow and in a sense like party plans, like what are we going to do tomorrow, let's do okay. this birthday party. And we are really cheerful. We are always making like plans for how to meet with each other. Let's go to the beach in summer, let's make this, you know, birthday for the grandma or wedding plans. Or
have you noticed the same kind of approach to family life here in Estonia as well?
No,
or not
really. I was surprised to see that people don't spend time with their relatives and with yeah. their families in here. And, it's not common to say, I'm going to go and visit my mother for the weekend. Or mm-hmm. I'm yep. going to...
Everybody tries to stay away.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's the difference. But I think the moms in here are also really independent. Like yeah. they like their space. So it's in that sense, it's very different. For me, it was like when Prit was living in Mexico, mm-hmm. I asked every weekend, please call your mom. And he said, like, why? There's nothing wrong. Why should I call her? Mm-hmm. Just tell her, how are you doing in Mexico? It's like, no, I will call her when I have something to say.
Yeah. That's typical. When I've lived abroad, then it's also like I notice that my contact with my parents, I keep it minimum because I'm like busy living local life, I guess. Mm. Or I don't feel the need to contact them all the time.
Yes, you don't need to do mm-hmm. that checkup point. Yeah.
But do you do it right now or how often?
Right now I have a really busy life with the kids and house and the dog and the work. And I'm in my 40s. I think it's the time. I can't believe it. It's the time of the life when the life gets really, really busy. Mm-hmm. So, and we have technology right now. I text my mom. I guess every day, hey, I'm gardening, here are the kids, here's mm-hmm. the dog. So I'm kind of checking up at least once or twice a week, often for mm-hmm. Estonian standards. but not the conversation I used to have, like when I was in the university, when I went out from home, I was calling her almost like every day and spending hours on the phone because back then we didn't have any of the mm-hmm. social media technology, Facebook or whatever. So I just call her and spend half an hour just talking about my day. Mm-hmm. And that's really nice that we find time to listen.
Yeah. How is it in Mexico that when you leave home or when you go to the university, do you actually still continue to live at home or do you go to the campus? Or like how independent are Mexican young people, I guess?
That's a very interesting question because depends where you live. Okay. Mexico, there's no many places where you can go to the university. Sadly, we don't have universities everywhere. Mm-hmm. So people, young students are pushed to move to big cities. to mm-hmm. continue with their studies. I will say in Estonian it's similar because you mm-hmm. don't have universities in Hiiumaa or I don't
yeah know, yeah like not on the islands not but the, you know in Estonia the distances are way shorter as really well so mm-hmm. 2 hours on a bus once per week is mm-hmm. way different than maybe having to fly I don't know
yeah I took bus for 24 hours.
Jesus. Wow. See
so yeah, that's long. You would take a bus from Tallinn and then start driving, you would end up in Poland like four countries later.
this is surprising. Yeah, this is what I know. It's like in here you can cross a country, but to go, going back to your question, yeah. like mm-hmm. the independency, I think most of the students they in Mexico they go to study when they become 18. They have to go to the university, but sometimes you go back home, and sometimes okay. we do have this profile of people living with their mom until they have 30 or even 40 mm-hmm. stay mm-hmm. at home. So we are less independent in the sense, like I have seen in here young Estonian moving away from their families when they are really young, like 15, 16,
mm-hmm. yeah.
which that is not really normal in Mexico, I would say.
When you think about the fact as well that in Mexico, families are very close knit, so everybody's like kind of in everybody's business anyway. It's kind of hard to pull away from that, I think. And maybe mm-hmm. you don't even want to because you're used to the fact that you are being supported and held by your family, unless yeah. it's like the situation is really complicated. I would presume that people like the fact that, you know, somebody is taking care of them all the time.
Yes. I mean, depends. It's people are really different. But the society, it is really supportive. We have really strong connection with the family and also like friends and neighbors. So it's difficult to become completely independent or even to try because sometimes yeah. family is also pulling you back in. Yeah. Like, don't go too far. You have to visit me and your grandmom and how come you're going to miss his birthday? Yeah. But if you want to be really independent in Mexico, you have to fight a little bit with the yeah. culture. Again, it can depend mm-hmm. on the people, on the person.
So how old are your children already?
My daughter is 11, oh my God, and my son is 9.
Mm. Wow.
So they go to school here, right?
Yes.
Do you want them to have an experience of living in Mexico as well? Or what is your take on that? Mm.
What's your plan for future? Mm-hmm. Are you so Estonian that you already have a plan?
Typical Estonian question. So about
what
the future?
Is about the future? Exactly. Do you have a plan? I think I'm not that Estonian. But I have wishes. Mm-hmm. Of course, I wish the kids will go to Mexico and experience the school in Mexico. Mm-hmm. We went 3 months last year. We spent 3 months with the kids in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Weather-wise, it was for them different mm-hmm. challenge because mm-hmm. We went in April, May, and June, mm-hmm. and it was summer, and we couldn't go outside a lot because it was really, really warm. But of course, I wish I could have put them in some Mexican school and have more of Mexican friends. They could understand my mm-hmm. route, yeah. But I mean, they're still small. I hope that we can go at least 1 month a year, and so they can make friends. Mm-hmm. But they're really Estonian kids.
Do they speak Spanish?
They do. They mm-hmm. do speak Spanish, but I would say not the same Spanish that I speak. But we mm-hmm. have one rule at home. If they want to watch cartoons, we have Netflix. Mm-hmm. I said, like, only in Spanish. If you Ooh. Want to watch something, you have to watch it in Spanish. Of course, when I'm not looking, that they change it to English.
Yeah. Okay.
And then I have to be like a grumpy mother, say, go back to Spanish. Mm-hmm. But they speak Spanish. And every night, they are like not very small kids, but every night we try to read some like story mm-hmm. in Spanish. So It's works in progress, work in progress.
No, but I think it seems to be like a very good approach because kids are like sponges, like when they're kids. Like I learned German from watching TV, so cartoons. So I would presume that they would do the same. Mm-hmm. And eventually, like once they get an interest and they want to go, and maybe you just have to leave them in Mexico for a month and go away. And then they have to learn to be independent. And if they want anything, they have to explain themselves in Spanish. Here's an abandonment plan for you.
My Mexican side of mom will not allow me.
No, really?
I would say, no, stay with me. But I think you're right. I think at some point they have to experience this country by themselves without me, maybe in the future. They love Mexico. They love the food. They love being with the family. They like in there. So why not? Let's see. Mm-hmm.
So if your children are watching cartoons in Spanish, how has your learning Estonian been? Do you speak any Estonian and how did you learn it?
Yeah, I understand everything. I took Estonian lessons when I arrived. I took like 3 years. I really, really wanted to learn. And one of the things that helped me, and I am sure that many of my Latin friends will not like what I'm going to say, but I try really hard to stay away from other Latins and Spanish speakers. It was really difficult because at the beginning, I just wanted to feel more comfortable and be where everywhere, always speaking Spanish, like I want to be with them. But then I had to be very hard on me and say, and if I want to learn the culture, I just have to be with Estonians and have Estonian friends. And and I'm really pushy with myself. So I was reading every day and studying and watching Estonian soap opera, which is funny because they are Mexican soap operas translated in Estonian. Yeah. So it was really easy for me to understand what they were talking about and then listening to the Estonian that was...
So funny, what's your favorite soap? What's your favorite Mexican soap translated into Estonian?
I'm not very like that, but I will say here what I was like, it was funny for me that everyone seems to know what is Rosa Salvaje.
Like, yeah. Because when I grew up,
this
was like our, like, before you go to bed kind of TV series.
I don't think I know that. I know like...
Metsi Gross. Metsi Gross. Do you know the Wild Rose?
I know Metsi Gross. Gato de Negro and things like that.
Okay.
Okay, maybe you're a little bit younger than me, then that's why the reason. But I think remember it's for the generation.
Yes, because I was watching Rosa Salvaje, like in the original language. And then I came here and then Estonians were like, Roberto, no! I was like...
Cara sucia.
Yeah, cara sucia. How do you know Rosa Salvaje?
That's so funny.
But the language in Estonian is really hard. I'm still improving. Although I think I'm good enough in it, writing it is something that is still a challenge for me because Estonian has so many different cases and grammar is not very common. Like we have articles and pronouns and in Estonian you just put the cases at the end of the word, so the word changes all the time, so that makes it more difficult. But I like the language. It's hard. I will say that before, when I was living in Mexico, I didn't even know what was Estonian. I wanted to learn French because it's romantic. But in Estonian, what I like right now is every time we go back to Mexico, I feel like I can speak like in a secret language that no one will understand.
Yeah. That's what they most commonly said, like excuses as well for learning Estonian. Like if you go to anywhere else in the world, everybody thinks that it's like a made up language.
Yes. And when we were in Mexico with the kids last year, they spent 3 months and then we were in the shop and supermarket and I wanted to say something like, so nobody will understand. And I was like, yeah. Mines is not to Canada. Yeah, cortoni, palio, yokse. We went to some like parking, like kind of Disneyland, but Mexico style. So I wanted to tell the kid, you go in front because there are so many people, just grab a place. And we were speaking in Estonian. And then Mexican and really talkative, they came to me, what language are you talking? Like, this is really interesting. Where are you from?
So what did you say? I'm a converted Mexican into Estonian or something like that?
Estmex.
Estmex. Estican.
Yeah, that's one of the other things.
Okay. So you went to university, right?
Mm-hmm.
What did you study in university?
In Estonian, I went to Estonian University in Tetelu.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe back in Mexico.
Back in Mexico, I finished my bachelor degree in international business. And when I came to Estonia, then I thought, I mean, in Estonian, in Europe, my university probably is something nobody knows. And I also wanted to learn Estonian and have more friends. So I finished my master's degree in Tallinn Tehnika Ülikool.
It's TalTech now, I think.
TalTech now?
Yeah, they change every day.
All right. So I did my master in business administration. And I actually finished it when I was with my small daughter. So it was a bit challenging, but I did that.
Nice. Congratulations.
Congratulations, of course.
Thank you.
Is there a big difference between Mexican universities and Estonian universities now that you have an experience on both?
I think some things are different, of course. But not that much.
Okay.
I can't think.
University
life is still the same. You have to study. You have to. The only difference is, of course, you cannot pay someone in here to give you a diploma. While in Mexico, maybe in some schools, it's possible.
To bribe somebody?
Yes.
Is it very corrupt in Mexico?
Mexico, I think it is. It's part of the bureaucracy. I think that has the lead of us to find some short ways. If Mexico bureaucracy will be less and things will move, maybe right now. I mean, I haven't been living in Mexico for a long time. Maybe right now Mexicans are better. But when I was in the university, bureaucracy and paperwork was really hard. Like going into the university, you needed to have the receive of here and there and make a line from the morning to, and if you know someone that knows someone that is friend of someone, maybe you will get chance to go to the university. It's not university, it's not for everybody. Sometimes you have to wait your turn to get in. So I think in that sense, is it the same in Estonia that you have to gain your grant to go to the university?
Now for 5 years, I think, I might be wrong, that it's free to study in universities for everybody. So now you don't really need to get the grant either. Like, you get the grant when you have good grades, then you get a scholarship grant money supporting you.
Anyone can go here, right?
Well, I don't know. I guess it depends also in terms of whether you're an Estonian citizen or if you're a foreigner. If you're a foreigner, then you probably have to apply into the bachelor or master's programs, and then you could come for a semester or maybe longer. But back in 2004, when I went to the university, basically if you had the final exams, then anybody could enter to the university. Just there was the main difference that the country or the government every year, they expect a certain amount of field specialists, to graduate. So there are certain spots that are for free, and then there's extra spots where you might have to pay for a yearly fee, or you have to buy or pay for the points. I don't know how the pointing system happens around here.
Yeah, but now everybody's for free, so...
I don't think it's the same for every university. There's still special
private
universities, and private ones. Yeah, private ones or open, even in the art academy, where it's you have to, if you want to go to the open academy part, which is not essentially the university part, it's open for everybody and you want to study, then you still have to pay. But in general, the Estonian education, it's pretty cool,
I think,
right?
The Estonian education is really good. And I love my experience as a student. And I think the teachers were really knowledgeable of what they were teaching. I just want to say, in Mexico, university is for everybody. The thing is, we are so many that we have to sometimes wait, in terms of... infrastructure capability of the university itself mm-hmm. might not mm-hmm. be that big that you can fill into all the people who want to go. Yeah, Estonian university was nice in here. Good experience.
I actually have a weird question as well in relation to grown-ups going back to school in Mexico. Is that a thing over there, or is it more like, you know, in Estonia, re-educating yourself and going back to school even when you're 30, 40, 50, it doesn't really matter. You have the chance and people often use that. Is it common in Mexico to do that as well? Or is it more like you learn something and then you stay on that field forever and ever and ever?
I personally love to see when people go back to university when mm-hmm. they are on their 50s, 40s. I did have a classmate in my university, a woman, she was 45. Mm-hmm. And she was there with us learning, and she said like, oh, I want to finish university because mm-hmm. I got married when I was very young. It is not common. You don't see that every day, but there's always someone. So it's, you can see it. Mm-hmm. How do you see it in here? Do you see people going back to university?
Well, I personally have been to university twice, and that was back when I was, I never graduated, so let's be honest. And then I went back to a regional training center. So that's kind of like vocational studies. That's when you are more, in the end, you get like an associate's degree or a diploma, which essentially you learn for a certain job. So either graphic designer or hairdresser or cook or mm-hmm. whatever.
Vocational baker. School.
Yeah, that's vocational cool. school, basically. And this kind of applied studies, yeah, there you see a lot. Like I had like course mates that were like 55, 62, one even. And even my grandpa goes to like this, they call it like a senior university, and he's like 94. Mm. So basically, I think studies never end.
That's really surprising. So. That's really, really nice.
But you know, he's a little bit like out of the ordinary in general.
I want to meet your grandpa.
Yeah, I think he just wanted the title of being really old and in school.
Wow, that's so inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
my experience has been that I studied in ECA, which is the arts academy in Tallinn. And I feel like arts and design is like one of those specialties or one of those areas where people are, they study something else, then they work, and then they come back for their passion. So there's always like almost in every specialty groups, because groups are pretty small, you can see at least one who is like on their second or third like round of university. And then it's like quite common, like in my group there was as well somebody, and he blended in really nicely, so everybody got along, and that was like enriching the group, I feel like.
I think that was my experience as well, that I having like people with different age groups actually gave so much different perspective, especially when it comes to design. Like if you have a group of, let's say, 16 different people, then you get 16 different viewpoints on one and the same exercise. And the older you are, the more different it is from the ones that are like just 20-year-olds. So there's like 30, 40 degrees of either experience or just different cultural background already in there that you build in. And I think that was, at least in my case, that was the interesting part, and which I found was really cool. And the older you are, the more motivated you are as well, which mm-hmm. makes it really nice to go to the university with people that actually want to be there rather than feel the need that they have to be there. You know, when you're 20 and out of school, you're mm-hmm. kind of like, oh, I have to, but you don't, you know, but we're not really told that in the early beginning, at least in Estonia. It's like, you have to go to the university, and you're like, why do I have to go? Every third person has already a university degree. So
I think that in terms of education, the entire world need to develop and learn because I'm with you. I think that when you combine different ages in a group, you can get so much more from different angles. Like when you have all teenagers or all the same mm-hmm. age in the same room, everyone is kind of in the same
similar
point
viewpoint.
Of the life.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
But when you combine this, I think the growth and education can be more dynamic and like good for everybody. But yeah, I mean, education, don't get me started. Yes, I have kids, I'm worried. I would like mm-hmm. to see some changes. And I think with the corona times, I saw a lot of changes. But mm-hmm. In terms of institution, and yeah, let's mm-hmm. talk about that. Maybe in another podcast.
We can switch topic. So what about if we talk about Estonia? What are your favorite places to see or visit? Or when you have friends coming over, are there any certain things that you definitely want them to see or experience?
Oh my God, Estonia is a very beautiful country. I can't think in one place. I think the city center, it has a lot of history, and it's one of the places that is really magical, and you feel like inside a movie, like Harry Potter. I don't know, if you're walking in the night with this castle, and then if you go to the very old apotheca,
apotheca probably in the middle.
It's very magical experience to be in the old town. But I like the forest. I think the Estonian forest is really relaxing. When you get into the forest and you have the berries just there waiting for you to grab them, the forest gives you so much calmness and fresh air. And the view, and I think that's might be one of the reason why, I mean, Estonians, they love forest, they love nature, and when you are there, then you feel like, I can go very deep and into myself and relax and think, and the air is so clean. So I am fan of collecting mushrooms in the autumn, like Ukkasenet and Puravik. I have so much fun with the kids going into the forest. And well, in the summer, like going to the beach, coming to the city center, walking around. And in winter, I'm still struggling with the winters. If someone comes to visit winter in Estonia during winter, I will have a little bit of struggles kind of finding recommendations. But I will say winter is good to go into the spas. You have a lot of spas in Estonia.
That's a good recommendation as well.
Yes, but it's not a lot of like looking into outside the city. But I didn't know what was an spa, because in Mexico, when you go to the beach, that's already an spa. And
are the beaches of Mexico and beaches of Estonia different? Or are they even different?
Yeah, well, in here, the water is not salty. That was the first thing I noticed when I came, is like, where are the waves?
There are waves. Have you been on the islands? You get big waves there.
Maybe when it's like a storm, but my husband is from Hiiumaa. We go to the to Hiiumaa very often. But the waves are like, very nicely and calm, like Estonians, I will say. But the first time I came to Estonia, I went to Pirita, Pirita Beach.
Yeah.
And I was like, is this a lake? Why is it so big? why the water is not salty? It's kind of not even like, it's kind of sweet. Like, and in Mexico, the water is really, really salty. So I tested it. This is not like the typical sea water. And I was expecting the waves, like very violent, coming into the stones and like kind of, you know, you can... it's different, but in here the you can find also the big waves. Not for surfing, I would say,
but there are surfers as well. Like, have you been to any of the the windsurfers mostly, not like the board surfing as it is like in Australia or somewhere else, but there's this thing called in Hiiumaa as well, I think.
Yeah,
Paradise Island.
Paradise
Peach. Yeah. So there are some places, but you really have to know where to go to, where the wind and, you know, the nature works together so that there are enough waves to walk.
Yes.
Around. Do you windsurf?
No, I don't know how to windsurf, but I would like to try it one day. It looks looks really nice. I started to skateboarding. I want to experience one day winter. In a proper way, like going to some winter vacation. I have been afraid of having winter vacation and enjoying, but I want to push myself to enjoy the winter and get rid of the thinking that I can't do anything on winter, just to go to spas. So I'm trying to learn how to use the skateboard so I can use the snowboard.
So you want to learn how to snowboard. Have you skied in Estonia? Cross-country skiing.
Yeah. So difficult. It looks really easy. No, and I don't want to try it again. because it was really hard.
Now you sound exactly like us when we're 12 and we are forced to do that in school. I don't want to try that.
It's really hard, but I see a lot of Estonians, they love and they enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of the same thing, like going to the nature. It's like if you go and pick mushrooms or forage for like berries, then during the winter
time. Do you guys know how to ski?
Yeah.
I know how to do the basic, like with two hands, like push forward, but I can't do the cross the...
I love that. That is the best one.
I can't do that. But I did, like, when I was small, like, I think like 3 or 4, my mother already put me to skis and sent me to the park to, like, slip there. And then four or five years ago, I went to Switzerland and it was my first time on actual skiing on a mountain. And I was like, oh, I'm from Estonia. I've been skiing like forever. And then I went to the mountain and that didn't end well. That was a pain.
Oh, God.
I am so surprised to see the kids in the kindergarten. Mm-hmm. They are wearing the skis. They have lessons to learn how to ski, and in the school as well.
They even have marathons, if you notice.
I know.
They're trying to teach them very early on to run, to ski, to do all sorts of sports stuff.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was surprised that my kids are skiing. Oh my God.
Do you have any other like bucket list items or activities that you've discovered here or you started to like or you would like to try to do?
Let me think a little bit. I think there's always room for more. Mm-hmm. I think my biggest challenge was how can I gonna make peace with the winter? I have to make peace with the winter. I used to love the winter the first time I came. Mm-hmm. It was so magical and pretty and beautiful and
that
and
was just you being in love.
Exactly. Maybe it was, but the winter, it was very beautiful. It looks nice. And the first year was like, oh, why people don't like winter? It's so beautiful. Yeah.
So now
and
you understand.
And then second year was like this snow. I mean, it's not going away. It's like, you have been here for a while, snow. Go away. And third year is like, again, snow. Like I have to clean my car and I have to cannot even go out. It's so much snow.
It starts getting annoying after a little while.
What about last winter? We didn't had almost any snow.
Yes. And then I started to miss the snow again.
Sounds
never
like Estonian.
You sound exactly like
Estonian. I know. I'm telling you. I'm not 100% Mexican anymore. I don't know what happened. But I think that what we had last year, it was like autumn forever. Don't you think?
Yeah, that like, went really long.
I don't know. Like, for me, it was like being in Ireland for the last 2 years. Okay. This was like the perfect winter ever because I was afraid when I come back, it's going to be like minus 30 just for the sake of me coming back. So for me, that was like actually really nice autumny weather. I didn't really mind it because it wasn't raining as much as it does in Ireland. But in Ireland, you have kind of similar weather all through the winter and it rains and you have storms and you have everything else. So in that sense, it was quite nice.
But happy to hear how Estonians perceive the winter.
Ugh.
Okay, I'm not alone.
No, it's long. I was actually born on, my mom still tells me, I was born on a winter when it was minus 35 degrees outside. Like the windows were covered with like mattresses in the hospital. And I was born on a day like that. I'm like, yeah, see, that's why I don't like winter anymore. Like I was born in such a cold that these days I can't really stand the cold. I like it when it's like minus 3 or like, you know, really like kind of warm and you got this really nice snow, but like when it gets slushy, it's bad. When it gets minus 20 degrees, it's like,
How about you, Tina?
I was actually born on a winter as well and really cold day. And like first, I
winter
was,
girls.
Yeah. And I was born at home. So the first thing they had to take me to the hospital through outside. Mm. So I got the cold exposure, I guess. Yeah. But I think it's had a good influence on me because I go winter swimming and I enjoy spending time outside. Not like every day, all day, but like when it's minus 20, then I still go like outside and be like walk fast, don't stop. But I go winter swimming and I like going to sauna and like
winter swimming.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's your next level. That's one for the bucket
list. Okay, let's put it in the bucket list. Yes.
Yeah.
My kids born in February. They are winter kids. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I didn't know that you can put the babies to sleep outside in
of
Estonia.
Course you can.
How creepy is that? Like, I'm sorry. My mom, when I send her like pictures, like, mom, the babies are sleeping outside. It's like minus 10 outside and they're sleepy, like babies. They're sleepy so nicely.
That's the secret ingredient.
They slept so well during winter outside. That's but the first time I was afraid, like, how can I gonna put my baby to sleep outside? It's a snow. It's minus degree. Mm-hmm. This is not human. What are you what are you talking about?
That's how Estonian they get cool.
Yes. Yeah. We will never do that in Mexico. Mm.
Well, now you can teach everybody how they do the stuff in Estonia.
Yeah,
but I guess in Mexico it would be too hot to put the baby outside anyway,
exactly.
Right?
No, they will get they irritated. Yeah, they will start to sweat and probably die. Mm. Like,
winter is so scary.
Yeah.
Do you have anything that you wish you would have known before moving here? I'm sure Brit was telling you a lot about Estonia, but do you feel like, were you prepared?
So, Brit. He's typical Estonian. I mean, he has changed a lot because we've been married. But what when I asked him, like, okay, let's go back to Estonia. Mm-hmm. It seems very interesting. I like that the maternity leave takes up to 3 years. So tell me more.
Yeah.
And he said, like, I'm going to tell you more. Mexico and Estonia, they are opposite. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, tell me more. But I told you already. What? That they are opposite. No, but I mean, please, honey, just go into detail. No, you will see. So he didn't want to share too much with me. So I didn't know anything. And then I thought, that's good because I don't want to be biased. I don't want to arrive somewhere and thinking like I know everything already. So I came here thinking Estonian and Mexico are opposite. So I'm going to find out how come they're opposite. And after living here for a year, I'm like, Estonian and Mexico, they're opposite. It's true. Now I know what you mean. It's like, and I asked like, what do you mean with opposite? You know what is white? Yes. You know what is black? Yes. They are opposite, right? Yes. Estonia and Mexico. You know what is the night and what is the yes? Opposite. Estonia and Mexico.
Do you have any like extreme examples of what you experience yourself?
Like in here. I mean, even the electricity. When I came here, nothing, none of my devices work. Like, let's start with the simple things. Like I brought my PC. It burned out because...
Wait. Socket is different?
Also the energy. Here is 220 volts, while in the American, I think it's 150 max.
Oh, I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah, so you cannot put your devices... some electronics will burn in here because the electricity is just higher here. And also, well, the socket, of course. And the thing, like, Mexicans... open and with strangers and speak a lot and are very emotional, and in here people are more calm and they're like, let me think what I'm going to tell you first, then I will say something, maybe.
So patience.
Patience. And we are really reactive and more, so that's different. And then the fact that in the summer times, it never goes dark in here. It's always sunny. And in the winter, you never see the sun. We have almost sun all the time. And typical, sometimes it's different. But in the sense, like, the summer is very different. Weather-wise, different. Food-wise, here is very plain, very soft. Food is very gentle with you.
Ooh.
Not much spices.
Now I have more Estonian taste. I put dill in my sandwiches and I feel like, oh, wow. I like this flavor. Kaisa, you know, you were the first who introduced to me with silver kilo oileif.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was probably silver more than me because, and shout out to silver, who is our like food gourmet guy that introduces everybody to Estonian food. But he's the kind of person that can make a sandwich, a plain tomato sandwich, look like it's a gourmet sandwich and introduce it the same way as well, explaining it like how he made it for like 10 minutes. So yeah, I'm not actually surprised the fact
that he was the one. Yes, the food is different here. I mean, you enjoyed the plain raw fish.
Yeah. It's good. It probably wouldn't last in Mexico. So
no, I mean, think the fish will go bad, of course. Yeah. But in here, it's the first time I try raw fish, like kilovoilei and herringus. Mm. Oh my God, I love herringus. When I came here, I think I ate all them.
It's all Baltic herring.
Yes, that's delicious. But in Mexico, we have different spices. Like, if you are not like, oh, I need some water, then that means maybe the food, it was not that good.
It was bland.
It was plain food. So I learned how to, actually, my health, it came better in Estonia because I used to eat a lot of spicy food in Mexico. So I had in Spanish, it's called gastritis, which is this.
Okay, it's like ulcers or something like that.
A lot of like acid because I was.
Acid reflux then?
Yes, I was eating a lot of like lemon. We eat lemon like everywhere. We even have some like Coca-Cola with lemon thing. I mean, we put.
Cocktail? What?
Coke with lemon. That's not normal.
There was a campaign back in the 90s when Coca-Cola, Pepsi actually, can I say brands? I don't know.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
they introduced Pepsi with lemon for Mexico market. Mm-hmm. So because we put lemon everywhere. We put lemon in the beer, as you know, Corona with lemon and salt. So in Estonian, you don't have these lemons, the green ones. I mean, you can find them, but it's not very often. So lime. I change also my style, how to eat, and my gastritis, my acid fluid disappeared. So
that's nice. So Estonia has had a healing effect on you.
Oh yes, I think as a person, I have this shift of a paradigm shift in my mind, how to see the world and have grow in terms of I'm more aware of things now. Like changes and people and also asking myself, is that true? Not because I have been doing it or used to it. I kind of like thinking more deeply and because you have to release your culture when you're living in a different country. Then the reality changes. Like in here, Estonians, they are not religious, right?
Not really.
Not really. Like, it's really difficult to see Estonians in the church every Sunday. Maybe old people. I was going to the church every Sunday.
Oh, wow.
And doing my prayers and being very religious. And then I met my husband who said, like, I don't believe in God. And I'm like, I'm going to make you believe in God.
And how's that going for
And
you now
I'm asking myself, yeah, I do believe in some force and love. But I don't know if it's if it's the same religion that I was thinking. So I changed. I wouldn't say that I changed my religion, but I will say that I changed the way I perceive.
So the definition of it, I guess, then.
Yeah, the definition that I will say right now, like I completely respect if you don't believe in Catholics or anything, but as long as you believe in something, even if it's yourself, then it's completely valid. Like, you have to believe in something.
Yeah, that's very true. I just read an article recently as well. I think it was about Yanni Bev, and where they actually wrote specifically that it's sort of untrue to say that Estonians are not religious. We're not religious in the terms of being Lutheran and Catholic, but there's still a certain form of like paganism or spiritualism in people that even if they don't believe in like going to church and, you know, believing in God, they have their own inner God or universe or spiritual or whatever external force. The forest gods.
I think we're more like spiritual. Like we believe in something, some higher power. Something,
yeah, but we don't but define it specifically.
Exactly. And which is something, some of the things that I change in how do I perceive a spirituality and religion, because I thought, oh my God, you're going to hell because you are not even baptized and you are not going into the church and you don't know how to pray God. And then, I mean, been living here for a while, I feel like Estonians are really spiritual. Like when they go into the forest, how they respect the nature, how they respect how they interact with each other and the respect and the values, and then my mind is like, wait, that doesn't mean that they are not spiritual. They are really spiritual. So it's another way to perceive this universe. It's not wrong. It's just different. So that's something that I learned here.
Do you go to a church here as well, or not for long, or?
I haven't been in church for a long time because where I live, there is one church, but I mean, my kids are baptized, by the way.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So they were baptized in Estonian. This I had to have.
For your mom or for yourself?
For myself, for my family. Okay. I'm not sure, but my kids are baptized. And this okay. is something that I just had to make sure that this is on my checklist. They ain't going to go to do this. But I don't go to the church anymore the same frequency like I used to be when I was in Mexico. Mm-hmm. But I do my prayers. I am teaching my child how to pray like Padre Nuestro, which is this, how do you say?
Holy Father.
Holy Father. Yeah. Some things I keep. Some things are part of me. But in terms of going in again and mm-hmm. being so into the church, not anymore. Mm. But I'm a good person.
No, nobody is saying that you aren't. It's just, I think it's interesting how, you know, being in a different country and a different environment changes you as a person in general. It's not just a cultural thing. It's not like you come here and you continue with the same traditions that you did back in uh-huh. Mexico, but instead, you know, it turns into this weird fusion type of thing where you keep a certain part of Mexico and then you mesh it together with something that is very Estonian. And then I can't even imagine what your kids are going to grow up believing mm-hmm. in or thinking like, you mm-hmm. know, are they Estonian or Mexican? What do you think? Who do they consider themselves to be?
I would say they are very Estonian, but mm-hmm. Because they how they live, and this is something I also wanted to happen mm-hmm. that I think having like let's say your own root is important, mm-hmm. your own mm-hmm. identity,
yeah,
knowing where you from and your kind of nationality, it's important. I think it's a value, it's part of being human being, and I wanted the kids to have very sure who they come from, and mm-hmm. and they are really Estonian and they speak Estonian, and although I want them to understand who am I and mm-hmm. where I'm from and understand my roots, I don't want them to feel that they are Mexican because they live in Estonia. Mm-hmm. So they have Estonian friends, and they, if you ask them, they will say, I'm Estonian. Mm-hmm. And this is what I want. That they have certainty in who they are and what they, where they from. And then they have the spicy twist of Mexican mother in there.
Yeah, you get to be the spicy one. And then when they bring their girlfriends and boyfriends home, you get to be the nosy Mexican mom. Tell me all about it. What's going on? Do they actually go to Estonian school?
Or? Yeah, they are in Estonian school. They're typical Estonian kids. They do everything. And they are very serious and reserved, and they don't talk with the strangers. And but depends. Like the magic thing in here is that they can switch. Mm. When we are in Mexico, they switch. Like these kids, I don't recognize. They're very talkative. They want to try things. They want to open up. They want to ask questions. And then I was like, ooh. Mm-hmm. And like, well, mom, we are in Mexico. We understand mm-hmm. you are like this, and in here it's okay. Go ahead, do that.
That's a really nice example of how the environment shows you what's normal, or you start to feel and act like towards or together with the new normal around you.
Yeah, it's a kind of mimicry, or like mm-hmm. being a chameleon, that if you go, and actually it might end up being a very beneficial trait for them, because it makes them very adaptable when it comes to different countries. And even if they don't end up in Estonia or Mexico or in some other country, then they might be more open-minded towards that, I would presume. I would know, but
I think the same way. Like if you would put this in terms of like palette of colors, they have from the black to white. Like my husband said, like
shades
they
of
have all the shades, all the variety. So when they go into the live, they will have all the colors in there to paint whatever they want to do with their lives. So I hope that is a strength. I hope so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are there any funny words in Estonian? That you like, why do you have that?
Your favorite ones.
Okay, let me think. Because Estonian is very. I was just talking with my husband yesterday that the other day my sister came to visit me mm-hmm. and she said something like in Estonian, "Ella," and my husband, "Ella doesn't mean anything." Mm-hmm. "Ella" means something. "Ella" doesn't mean anything. And we're like, but it's the same thing. How come "ella" and "ella"? It's so different. It is, mm-hmm. but it is, right? But if someone is in Spanish is listening to this right now, or they will, then like, what are they talking about? Like if you say, ella and ella, that's a different word. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I had a lot of like funny moments. I took a taxi in Christine and I wanted to go to Nome. Mm-hmm. And I said, take me to Nome. And he's like, Nome. Yeah, Nome. You mean Nome? What did I say? No, you said Nome. But I, okay, whatever.
Okay, so there's like very tiny nuances in there. Yes. Very important.
The vowels are my weakness here. Like I can say something really funny. Like when we are in at home and we have like Estonian grandma and the kids and we are speaking in Estonian. Mm-hmm. And then I said like, to seda. To seda. And Mike is like, to seda or to seda. I'm like, well, you know what I mean. Ve a traerlo. Like, go bring it.
Oh, that's funny.
But the funny words, yeah.
Yar. What? Is that one?
Yeah. Is it? Am I saying? Yeah. It's so.
Rah. The edge of the ice.
The edge of the ice.
How's your ooh doing?
I'm still working on the that is difficult from if you want to learn Estonian. You have to be very creative with your sound of voice, like I'm still struggling, but funny words I will say I will come back later. Can't think. There's, I'm sure there are, I know many like double meanings, one day I was driving when I came to Estonia, and there is one school, and the name of the school is Pedo. And you are very serious, right? Mm-hmm. Because in Spanish, Pedo means like gases. Like, So I took picture and I'm like, look, this is one school in here. The name is Pedo. What? So that was really funny.
How does your family, or what does your family think about you living in Estonia? Do they enjoy coming here, or are they more like, scary?
They are like, scary, okay. Yes. But they are willing to come when it's summer, only when it's summer. And I think they came, I think it was 3 years ago. It was April, and they thought, okay, it's warm enough. We can go to Estonia. It's April. It should be safe. And she came with the sandals, without any jacket. And my sister came with her baby. A baby was like not wearing any even socks. Like just.
Oh my god.
And then it was snowing.
What?
In April.
Oh.
That year.
Yeah, we've had those
years.
And
they were not ready at all. Like they came. I saw them in the airport. Like, can you put your sweater or jacket or what do you have? No, nothing, Sandrita. It's April. Let's go. No, you cannot. What happening? And the baby, can you put him? No, why? It's not summer here. No, yet. Not yet.
They forgot to watch the weather forecast.
I had to ask. We don't watch weather forecast. Like, why? And they forgot to bring clothes. So I asked my friends with small child to borrow me this like Estonian clothes for the baby.
Combination.
Kombekas, yes. Yeah. So we got a kombekas for the girl. She was like 9 months old, wearing nothing but just like clothes. And my mom, we found some clothes from Brit's mom and from my husband's mom. And then my sister, I lent her my clothes as well. And they were like, okay, now you're ready to go outside.
Oh, that's cute.
But now then they ask, is it warm?
They learned.
Yes. I can go, but is it already hot? Like I can go outside without the jacket or without the boot? Yes, ma'am. Okay, I will see.
Yeah, so this week will be perfect for them.
This week will be perfect.
Yeah.
I love this. How you are enjoying the weather right now? It's
like typical Estonians. It's like 30 degrees. It's a little bit too hot.
I enjoy, like, I was on our countryside like last week or during Janipäev. And I went swimming like every day, so that was super nice. Yeah. Just to wake up, hang outside the entire day, and then go swimming. That's, I enjoy it a lot. Yeah,
I'm surviving on 2 showers a day, because being indoors is like absolutely almost impossible. Going outside only on the evenings. Yeah. I mean, I like sunshine and I like being in the sun, but 30 degrees is a little bit too much for me.
30 degrees.
Probably. I like swimming and I like, you know, doing the beach day once per year. My mom would be completely different, but I'm like, yeah, in that sense, I'm not even a summer kid. I'm not even a like a winter kid. I don't know. I'm somewhere in between kid. Mix. Like, I don't like extremes. I like it when it's like somewhere in between.
Nice.
Yeah, so that I work indoors and I'm not sticking to the table, you know? That feeling. I hate that.
That defined it really, really well. Yeah. It's good weather. But when I was studying back in my elementary school, the weather was really hot, like some 40 degrees Celsius outside. And I had to walk from school back home, maybe, I don't know, 5 kilometers. Wow. With this heat. So I remember when I was in the school, I just went into the bathroom and I just dropped like a bucket of water over my head.
And you got dry on your way home?
Yeah. Yes.
Steaming off.
Yeah, yeah. I like a turkey sound and like, you know, steaming out so all the time. And then I bought like a really agua de horchata, which is like water that is made from rice, but it's really, really cold. So I was just walking with head here, weight, and walking back home and talking with friends. And then, when I arrived home, I was like wet, but not from the water that I dropped into myself, but the sweat. I was sweating and like the weather. It's very different in here. Mm. Yes. But right now, even for me, I think my body is getting used to the Estonian because it's hot right now. And I'm... If I were in Mexico, it's like, how come? This is perfect weather to go outside and to go to the beach. But yeah.
Nice. So now we have some weird questions for you, like shorter questions, but they all have something to do with weirdness, pretty much. Okay. So, for example, what is the weirdest food that you ate here?
I went to a restaurant and they were selling herring asiatis. You see, it's even weird for you, right?
Herring ice cream. Yeah. So, well, I think the weirdest ice cream that I got was the one made of garlic.
Oh.
There was this garlic restaurant in Tallinn Old Town as well that was serving garlic ice cream. That was a little bit weird.
Oh, I would try both of them, but probably for once.
Like, yeah.
So ice cream from fish, that was strange. But also like the first time I came, this herring was something, and the kilovoi leiva was like, whew, blowing my mind. Like, how come? Kali. That's really delicious, but like the drink that is made from black bread, it's really tasty, and that was something strange. I think Estonians have a lot of things with hapukor, like the sour cream.
True.
We put lemon everywhere. Estonian, they put sour cream everywhere.
Okay, that's good.
Not many like weird things, I would say. I think these things were weird enough.
What about some weird traditions that you can't figure out about
sauna?
Sauna. Okay.
What can't you not figure out about sauna?
You go to a dark room, you get sweaty, and you beat yourself. What's not to?
And jump into an ice lake.
Exactly. Are you listening to yourself?
So which part is the problem, going into a dark room, getting sweaty, or being naked?
The part that is very broader than social. I will be I will, like, when I just came, like, I was you remember very religious, very kind of like
schoolgirl, a very proper girl,
proper. And then I remember we had a sauna event in the office. And going with your colleague to the sauna and see everyone in like naked, or even like wearing a towel only. That was for me like Jesucristo bendito. Like, oh my God. I didn't go that day. I think I was not even, I just left. I was like, oh, so embarrassed. And like, oh my God. And then some friends invited us to their home and they had sauna. And then again, husband, let's girls go to the sauna. And then they see each other naked, and the boys, and then they go very natural with the natural clothes outside. And I was just closing my eyes and I was like, wow, what happened?
So no saunas in Mexico?
No, we don't have saunas in Mexico. This tradition was something not common for me, difficult to adapt. But right now, I think that when it's winter and it's really cold, I make sauna at home. I still not yet going into sauna with a lot of people at the same, like Estonians will do it, like a social event. Like, let's go all together. Like, I'm not yet there. But if I go to a spa and I am together with other women in there, I don't feel any more like strange or uncomfortable. Like at the beginning, like I was wearing my swimming pool in the spas all the time. I felt like I cannot take it away in front of strangers. But right now it's more like, oh, it's just, why not? I need to wash myself.
In Estonia, nudity is more considered to be like something very natural and normal. Yes. And probably also for religious reasons, because in the very old times, as far as you know, the rituals were somewhere in the forest and you had crazy people running around naked in there. That's like all right for us. But when you think about like religious in terms of like going to the church and everything like that, then that is very private. Yeah. So maybe it's also the cultural background in there. Like the way how I always explain to foreigners the sauna culture is like, ain't nobody got time to look at you. Like they're like too busy like breathing in and, you know, figuring out the heat.
Yes, and that's true. And I think that's the part where it's people from other countries, I mean, also the religion background, like it, in some religion, like exposing your body, it can be a sin.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, Catholicism is the main religion in Mexico. It's not like a sin, but it's was always like if you're a nice girl, you are not even like showing your knees. Like you have to be very aware of your body. What are you exposing? If you are wearing very short thing, you have to be careful how people will see you. And I think that that was my surprise. And now I'm with you girls. Like when you are there, you are actually not looking what everybody have.
Yeah, nobody got time for
No, you aren't your business there in their business, and it is like it is. But for a beginner and just someone that just came, it can be like, who is gonna be looking at me? Nobody.
So, any words of wisdom to foreigners coming to
Estonia? Nobody's looking at you when you are in sauna.
Good.
That's nice.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Took me time.
It's a dark room. You're sweating anyway. Like, what's there to look?
Be natural. It's okay.
That might be the perfect thing to end on. Do you have any other thing that you would like to mention for other
foreigners coming to Estonia or considering coming to Estonia to live here? Do not live here.
Yeah.
Oh, well, if you are considering coming to Estonia, try to come in summer so you will love the weather, and then you can wait next year to have it the same experience again. But if you come in winter, you can get tired really easily, and then you will not gonna see the best part. So thank you girls for inviting me. It's been really nice. A lot of fun.
Yeah. We're super happy that you spent time with us, Sandra.
I am super happy.
Thanks for coming and spending time with us. That was really nice.
Thank you, Tina and Kaisa.
Okay, we got